It's a conversation heard in every honky-tonk bar in America. The pinnacle of BS you have with your buddies. Conversations so outlandish and absurd that the honky-tonk bars all around America are the only places where these conversations can be had with a pure lack of any political correctness.
But that don't change the truth, none. There's right and there's wrong. You gotta do one or the other.
That's right. It's time for the Bar Talk Happy Hour. Here are your hosts, producer Raven and Odie Coyote.
The Bar Talk Happy Hour. Odie Coyote with you with producer Raven. Producer Raven, it is a dawn of a new era for us here at the Bar Talk Happy Hour.
That it is.
I'm really excited for it because, you know, this actually means that this is our first ever episode where we're launching this, where officially you can listen to us on, it's bartalkhappyhour.com. So if you go to bartalkhappyhour.com, you'll be able to see our on-demand section, listen to our show in its full entirety. We also have a summarized version, so maybe you just like to hear us talk, which my wife loves to hear me shut up, but you know. But if you want to hear just the conversations we have on air, you can listen to the podcast, which is available on YouTube, Google Podcasts for the time being until they retire that later this year, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can go find us pretty much anywhere. So we're out there. Just search for Bar Talk Happy Hour. You'll be able to find us. But tonight is also a special night because there's a special way to kick off our new era of shows. We have a cool interview with Jack Nelson coming up. It's a good one. It's an in-depth, highly in-depth one. But I did forget one thing that's new about our show, and it may take some time before this takes off, so this won't be like today, tomorrow kind of thing, but we are also allowing other radio stations now to air the show. So if you're a station, either internet or terrestrial, feel free to send us a message. We got a form up on our website, bartalkhappyhour.com. Just search for air the show in the menu bar, and you'll be able to air the show as long as you kind of agree some basic terms. We're not really specific, and best of all, it's free of charge. We're not charging stations to air the show, so we just want to get the word out and hopefully make the show grow a little bit. So it will mean a little bit different in format, and it does mean that we're technically not live anymore. We are in the studio as we speak, but these words were said the day before usually, and so we want to be transparent that we're not live anymore. But when we ask for requests, you can still get the requests in. And then if they don't air on this current show, they'll air on the following. Or they might even air on the show, depending on when the syndicate or us directly, because the parent to this would be Mixed Country 106, which is where the show was born at, depending on how you kind of got to do it. So but either way, we'll make it work. We're going to figure this thing out as we go. But we got a whole lot more, so I'm going to kind of shut up now and get on to it, because up next, we got Jack Nelson. So keep it clicked right here to
Bar Talk Happy Hour.
Keep it clicked. We'll be right back with more here on the Bar Talk Happy Hour.
Mixed Country 106, the Bar Talk Happy Hour. Odie Coyote with you guys today. Oh, it's the last weekend of March. It's the 23rd. And boy, do we have a special treat for you guys to wrap up the month. You guys may remember him from last year. Another repeat guest now on the Bar Talk Happy Hour. We have, as you can see behind me on the screen, we have Jack Nelson on our line. And he is up in the mountains on what I'm sure is an amazing ski trip. And Jack, can you tell me what's going on with you, bud?
Hey, Odie, I'm reporting live from Echo Mountain here. As you can see, we're reporting on Winter Storm 24, the spring edition that's rolling in behind me very nicely up here. But no, I'm having a great time, man. We're having a blast celebrating the radio release of Fog right now. I brought my son up to get some of that extra cold weather that I sing about in the song and teach him how to ski for his first trip. So I was excited to get that started today. And we're going to be plowing down this. This is the closest ski resort to Denver that I could find. It's a pretty cool spot. So looking forward to teaching him the ropes on some skis. I've been snowboarding for the last 20 years. So it'll be fun for me to get those boots strapped back on too. So that'll be a good time. Happy to be here, man. Thanks for having me out.
Yeah, absolutely. It was cool. And I'm glad that even musicians who are working their butt off can find some time to go and relax, and especially have time with their family and their kids and all of that. And, you know, I was just listening to your album Going Places, and I know you got the new single called Fog. I guess we'll touch on the hot topic right now, which would be, of course, that single called Fog. Why don't you talk about that and what do you want people to know when they listen to that song? Is there a particular message? Is there something special? What's going to stand out for people about that song?
Well, really, the song is about resilience, and you know, the struggles that I sing about in that song in and of itself. And we wrote it in 2017. We took the band on a winter tour, our first ever winter tour up through the Rocky Mountains. We started at Music Fest over in Springboat Springs. It's probably right over that hill behind me, a couple hours, and then we kicked off from there. We headed up north all the way through Montana, Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Jackknifed our rig there. Through going through the east side of Montana up to North Dakota, we ended up having to wait out a negative 60 degree blizzard. Apparently, it was like one of the worst winters they'd had in a couple of decades, I suppose. So we learned the tough way that a couple of boys from Texas didn't belong in that Yankee White stuff. And to add insult to injury to that, one of our ladies back home let us know that she would no longer be waiting for us back home. So it got a little extra cold to add to the frigidity. So just sitting backstage at the Beacon Club in Casper, Wyoming, and getting ready to do our last show before we could finally come home. And I knew I just had to write it down somehow. And this Western country grass tune came out. It is Fog, and we've been playing it live for years, and to be able to finally be able to put it out on a record and put it out to radio and have it recorded is just it's a great thing, you know, such a blessing.
Now real quick, producer Raven, I got to put you on camera for just a second. Do you take any offense to what he said about that Yankee weather? Because I know, even though I'm a Southern boy, I was born in Oklahoma and raised half my life, you know, down south in Memphis, Tennessee. You've been up here in Iowa all your life. Do you need to teach him anything about what real quote unquote Yankee weather is?
I can handle the weather.
I know, right? It's not that bad.
Yeah,
we know how to handle it.
It was a heck of an introduction for us, for sure.
Well, awesome. So now, Jack, one thing I wanted to ask you real quick is, you were talking about doing shows and everything. You've got a really unique style to your shows. You've got a really lively, entertaining personality. Is that something that just comes naturally to you, or when people come to your show, you know, what should they expect, first of all? And then number two, the guy they see on stage, you know, the entertainer, is that you in real life, or do you find yourself being much more chilled?
So usually, yeah, when I'm kind of just chilling at the house, I am very much chill. But when I'm excited about something, you get the full brunt of my excitement. See, I was the kid that never shut up. Everything was so exciting and new, and you know, just wanted to see and do everything. And then once I finally got to the point in my life where I've seen and I've done a lot, I finally gotten to the point where I can cruise a little bit more on idle, but I don't think that excitement on stage, or the fact of being on stage and being able to perform, especially with a band, will ever go away. Like, and what you see is how I really feel and what I really want to put out there as far as music goes.
So I wanted to ask you too about, you know, the album Going Places. You, of course, the title track on there, Going Places, I thought it was really cool because I felt like that was one of the most raw, real emotions that we'll ever get to see from you, Jack. And, you know, I love the line about saying, you know, we love, I'm going to probably paraphrase it here just a little bit because I lost my note in front of me, but you said, you know, we love you, Jack, but then you talk about the pay, you know, doing, you know, this gig work, just you know, it ought to be basically a crime, right, that of what they're paying. But then they say they love you, and then you talk too about, you know, the emptiness. You said you might as well be the radio. Can you talk about that song real quick? Because that song kind of struck a nerve, I think, for me too. And I guess where that song came from for you, and what made you want to write it all out like that.
So we were packing up to do a summer tour up through the mountains. Like we do, we call it the Rocky Mountain Run that we do every summer. And I was halfway through my backpack, and it just hit me like a lightning bolt. Like, oh, gotta write a song. So I sat down, and it just came out as honestly as it possibly could have, and just poured out onto the page. Every line just fit together like a puzzle piece as it came along. It was not my doing. It was definitely a divine godsend, if you will. Mm-hmm. But it is. It's all purely honest. It's all true stuff. Yeah, there are nights when you feel like you might as well be a radio. Like, and you're just like, we as entertainers, especially with all the great positive feedback and successes and things that we've done, like at the end of the day, sometimes it's like, why aren't these people paying attention? Why don't they care? And then to draw onto that a little bit more in the second verse, I'm talking about, you know, that you see, they always have me back. They'll say, everybody loved you, Jack. But they know what they ain't paying ought to be a crime. Because, you know, at the end of the day, a lot of our artists and musicians are severely undervalued. And that was one of those things when I penned those lines. As soon as I did, I wasn't thinking of myself. I was thinking of all of my other singer-songwriter friends that are equally, if not betterly great, that are just, you know, undervalued when it comes to these kind of things. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it is a business, and there's things to understand about it when it comes to, like, how much alcohol are you selling, or how many ticket sales do you have, or, you know, all of that stuff. But, you know, if the people would just listen to some of these cats that are out there and just that aren't getting the ear that they quite deserve, like, it would totally flip the game. You know, appreciate the art, because it's a beautiful thing. It's one of the few things that we have anymore that is 100% man-made. Everything else is either, you know, robots or something else. So enjoy the fool on the stool with the guitar, or if he's brought his band to you, and to do all that stuff, you know, because it's not an art that's gonna die, but it's getting less and less, as we can see.
One point I was going to make, well, actually 2 points that I want to make, is one, it got me thinking about that Alan Jackson song, To Do What I Do. And to me, I think that that's so true. And you touched on this too. Something that I've, you know, been vocal about on the show is that artists are not valued correctly for what they do. There was a post that really stirred this for me, I think. It had this idea of, like, this artist comes into a venue. Technically, he plays for 3 hours, but they pay him $500. Well, that didn't take in time for his equipment, you know, the maintenance on it. It didn't take in the time for his setup, his teardown. It didn't take in the time for the insurance that he has to keep. And people don't realize
the fuel cost, the rehearsal time, the, you know, there's so much that goes into it and builds on that more and more. But, you know, not... within the song in itself, it's not all gloom and doom. Like the silver lining to it, with it being going places, is, you know, at the end of the day, we still get to crank it loud and have a great time. We enjoy our job. We're passionate about it. It's a blessing that is something that we do get to do. And it's, you know, at the end of the day, with music, I'm going places, no matter how you frame it. You know, not all of us will wind up on the Grammys, or, you know, the, you know, whatever award or accolade that some people are seeking. And it, you know, really a lot of it's just about enjoying the ride while you're going places, the people you meet, the hands you shake, the things that go along with that. So that was very careful to include that bit of positivity in the song itself, because, like, it doesn't matter in the bridge, you know, it's up on a stage or in the sage brushing off this lonely haze. You know, like, it doesn't matter. As long as I get to play music, you know, at the end of the day, that is ultimately what it's about, because that's what I love the most to do. But yeah, then the fine lines on the verses are, but please appreciate us.
Yeah, exactly. God, just appreciate us. We're grateful, and yeah, we love what we do, but you know, at the same time, for us, this is our livelihood. This is what we do. For both, you know, fun and for business, and what we do to survive, because, well, that pickle jar is probably not going to pay rent just on its own, right? You know?
Not at all.
Now, one other song I wanted to pick on, because that album was actually really good, and I realized, you know, Fog and everything is kind of doing its own thing, and I do want to let people know that, make sure you go download that song, by the way, iTunes, Spotify, YouTube Music, everywhere. It's out all over, and we've been playing it here on Mix, but one song that I gotta bring up, and this one hit a really big nerve for me, and in a good way, a really good nerve, was the song called Lullaby. And I don't know, I'm gonna tell you why this song meant quite a bit last night, and I had to put it on repeat 2 or 3 times just so I could catch everything, and the lyrics of how you took all these nursery rhymes and strung them together to make this like cohesive thought was really beautiful. But let me tell you why it meant so much to me. And you can tell me if this is what you're going for. So I have a 6-year-old now, and when he was just a baby, you know, just born, you know, you're going through all these little nursery rhymes, you sing to him and you do all that. And what it made me think about was, then it, you know, when he finally went down to bed, when he finally went down, and you look at that like stack of bills, or you look at the struggles that you're going through with, you know, at the time I was with my wife, just trying to survive, trying to get through that first year, but still remembering, honey, I love you. This is our lullaby. And that's what that song made me think about. And so tell me, is that what you were going for? Did I catch the heart of that song? Or did you have something else kind of in mind?
Yeah. That song's got a really cool story for me on my end too. And that it lines up really well with yours. So I wrote that guitar part the day my son was born at a Naval Air Station in Jacksonville at the hospital. We were sitting in the room and I was picking on it, and I thought, well, that's kind of sounds like that'd be a cool lullaby tune or something like that. And then it was the song that never got wrote. Well, about 8 years later, I met the woman I now call my wife. And it wasn't 2 weeks after we started dating, and I got to thinking about the life that I wanted to live with her. I wasn't ready to tell her I wrote that song for her yet, even at the time. And, you know, was reflecting on the great relationships that had come before me in my family, but with my grandparents and stuff, and how much of a life I wanted to lead together and live that whole life as a lullaby. And as all these songs kind of just fell together, like a giant puzzle, and that hit it the nail on the head. And that that second verse, when you're an old mother digging through your cupboard, and you know how I'll be a little blue when you can't remember how to count to two, is kind of a nod to the dementia and Alzheimer's that my grandmother suffered through, and as my grandfather helped her through her final days before he passed on before her. And you know, it's just like, still what a remarkable life of, like, I think 70 years nearly of marriage that they had together, and just, you know, had a huge, wonderful, loving family, caring home. And you know, just it's written both in what I was currently living in and what I aspire to be, and all within a love, you know, relationship, family, home setting, just like you're talking about.
Right. That was the one thing I was going to mention too, is, you know, you can touch on these little notes in the song, these little nods, and it might just be like a phrase in a song, and how much it can mean to somebody. And it was different than a lot of the other tunes, which are a bit more upbeat. This one's just more, a little bit more laid back, a little bit more subdued, but it just had this really cool meaning to it. And I think in the industry right now, a lot of what's making the big hits are these little bit more up-tempo beats. And to see, I wish that one could, Let me ask you this. I'm just going to back up for a second. Do you think that Lullaby might come out as a single, that you guys might push that one a bit more? Or do you think that one's going to kind of just sit in its little gem spot that it is already on the album?
You know, I'm not against it. And the way I approach my like radio promotion side of everything is, so I'm as 100% independent of an artist as I can be. You know, there are a lot of artists out there that will pay $5,000 to $6,000 to have somebody else call the radio station and push their single, and, you know, maybe make the occasional relationship build on their own. But for the most part, like, I appreciate the work the radio promoters do and all that side, and I totally get it, and I understand why artists would do that. Nothing against them. That's just not technically my style right now. So with that being said, with me doing everything myself, I get to break the rules. So if you want to play it, please play it. That's the way I feel about it. Like, the more people listen to whatever they want to listen to off of the album, and hopefully somebody grabs it and takes off and runs with it, great. I may do, now that you mention it, I may do a dedicated push to Lullaby when we get the things out of the way that I'm working on right now, and just kind of follow it up in there somewhere in a place that makes sense at a time that makes sense. But I do have somewhat of a plan as to how I want to approach the dedicated singles as it comes along. But even there's a station in Australia that when I sent the album out through a distributor to all the radio stations, like, they wrote me, like, it was the runtime of the album from when that email went out. He wrote me back and he said, "Love the album. We're going to start playing Lullaby right now." And I was like, okay, great. So they love it in Australia. So I hate for them to be ahead of the game, you know? So if you want to hop on it, do get after it.
Yeah, I was going to say,
you know, at the end of the day.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, at the end of the day, it is what's the crowd going to love? What are the people? Because that's essentially, you and I have the exact same goal in that regard. We want to do what's best for the listener.
And it's your listeners. You're going to know your listeners much better than I will personally. Like, you know who's listening to what they like. So, you know, why wouldn't the radio station in and of itself and the program directors have the choice to be like, oh, yeah, you should totally, let's play this one off the album because it's great. You know, and the fact that it seems like a lot of radio markets are starting to to lean that way a little bit to the more independent side too, that they can do that, is refreshing.
Yeah.
So it's, everybody's getting their own wheels under them now, which is great.
And I'm 100% for that. And that's been kind of the thing. You talked about the radio promoters, and we in radio do value them because they are sort of our eyes and ears on what the next thing coming that we want to look at. And the sad part is, on a lot of radio, especially if you want to get into the big markets, it's all about testing. How did this song test, and where did it rank? Was it a 4? Did it get all the way to a 5 rating? And for those who don't know, the higher, obviously, just think of it as simple numbers. And there's actually different rating scales. Ones I'm thinking about, like, the highest is 5, and, like, you know, basically, if it's not at least a 4, it doesn't air. Basically, and then they just play the bejesus out of these like 20, maybe 40 songs, and for us, we kind of have to do the same thing in a little bit. But at the same time, I always, if you listen to Mixed Country 106 long enough, you'll see that yes, you will get some of those power songs, these big top 20 songs, you know, that are out on the Texas charts right now. But you'll also get some of these unique gems. We have a Texas rotation playlist right now that's at least 1,300 songs deep. So you're always going to get something neat.
Wow.
And that means even when a song drops off, like our currents or our power category, say like the Jack Nelson song Fog, that song's going to end up in what we call our Texas Gen. So it's going to pop up about once every 2 weeks minimum. And so you're always going to get some of Jack.
Oh, cool. Heck yeah.
That's how we roll. That's how we do it, because we don't want you to feel like you're always going to hear the same thing on mix. We want to throw in those little gems, and you know, we play like classic country too every once in a while, and that's been
your true mix station. This is
great. Exactly. Yeah,
you don't get that very often.
I consider it more of a generational station, because it's the same genre essentially, a little different flavors, because you know, like I said, we'll play 90s, the popular 90s country, but then you could hear something from the early 2000s and a lot of like we played Aaron Lewis, for example, you know, and the cool thing about being internet, Jack, and I think you might appreciate this, is I don't have to be censored. I'm not an FCC station. So if I say, I'm not going to say it on this interview just because we're distributing it out, but you know, if I want to say the S word on the radio portion of it, or the F word, you know, in good taste, right? Then I can.
No, of course.
But, you know, we're actually, Jack, I told you this before this, and I'm just now sharing this here, but this is going to be the first podcast episode that we're releasing. So, you know,
yeah.
And Jack's our number one guest. He said before the interview, I'm never number one at anything. all right. So we're going to wrap this thing through, but I got to get through a bunch of the who, what, when, where, and why is all real quick here for you. Jack, if anyone is near Texas, where can they come and see you next?
Ooh, this Friday I will be in College Station at a place called Herschel's, is what it's called.
Herschel's.
It's a whiskey bar, great listening room. I get away with playing a lot more original heavy set there, and you know, get to tell the stories on the song. So I highly encourage anybody to come out and catch me there. I know I'm supposed to be somewhere Saturday, but I can't remember off the top of my head.
Just wake up in a different town.
Got a lot of miles between here and there.
Well,
this Friday.
No, I was just going to say, what's your website? And we can go check out your concert calendar there.
Yeah, jacknelsonband.com. All of my socials are either like facebook.com/jacknelsonband, Instagram @jacknelsonband, Twitter X @jacknelsonband. And then all of the music is streaming under Jack Nelson on Google, iTunes, Spotify, Amazon, anywhere you stream music these days. So it's all in the good spots. But of course, most importantly, you can find it right here on Mix 106.
I couldn't have done a liner better myself, man. Jack,
thank you.
Last question.
I was like, I shouldn't be talking about all these streaming services while I'm on a radio station.
It's all right. You know,
listen to the radio, people.
We kind of embraced it, because here's something cool, Jack. And we've been promoting this quite a bit, because we just redid our entire website. Everything.
Nice.
It is fresh code. It may look a little similar because we wanted to keep familiarity, but it is a brand new website. And one of the cool things that you can do on it is any Jack Nelson track we play, when it comes up, you can hit the little iTunes thing in the top right-hand corner near the album cover, and it will take you directly to that track in iTunes.
Sweet.
Automatically.
I love that. That's great.
And even if you just missed the Jack Nelson song, it'll show up in our recently played, and you can do the same thing. And also, everybody, remember this. This is something really important. Jack, you don't know this. Everyone, vote. Yes, did you know when you make the Tex-Mex Top 20, it's not just based on the charts. Your votes actually count. You can vote on our website. You can vote in the app. It's all based on each device, so each person can actually vote multiple times, once per device for a song. And those actually count as two spins. So most charts you think, okay, well, what's radio playing the most? When you vote, it actually counts as two spins. So make sure you're actually going in there and voting, and promote Jack. Let's get Jack to top 20. I want to see it.
Yeah, that's a great thing. That's cool. And that just touches right back on what I was saying earlier. Like, no one's going to know your audience better than you at the radio station. What a better way to grab the opinion. So if the listeners want a say in it, why not give them the opportunity to vote for it and make that say a thing? That's fantastic. What a great job.
And it's just a station chart. We're not trying to be the official Texas country chart. We don't have any inspiration. We mainly started it because we wanted to.
Hey, you know what? I will take credit for those station charts all day long. Because a win is a win, no matter how you slice it.
Well, then check it out, because it's
inches or miles.
We wanted to just be transparent about, you know, what we're playing and why we choose the songs we play. So that's why we decided to make the chart. And
brilliant.
And but anyway, so Jack, all right, last question officially before I get off on my tangent there. I promise this is the last question. If Jack Nelson disappeared from the earth tomorrow, what is the one thing that you would want the entire world to know about Jack Nelson?
That I left the world having done everything that I could have ever expected to have done, but so much more. I could die tomorrow and be perfectly content and happy with everything that I've ever done. I live a great life. I've lived a great life. I couldn't have asked for a better life. I have the Lord and Jesus to thank for it. So follow that as well. And, you know, enjoy the fruits of your labor and enjoy the ride, because you only get one trip around and just enjoy it as much as you can. Try not to fret and stress over it all.
Amen.
Have fun.
I couldn't have said that better myself. That is beautiful. Well said. Jack Nelson, everybody, thank you so much for joining us today for the Bar Talk Happy Hour. We really, really appreciate it. And you go have fun on that ski trip. I hope your boy gets to have a great experience out there, skiing out there. And Jack, until next time, thank you so much.
Keep it clicked right here. We'll be right back with more on the Bar Talk Happy Hour.
Bar Talk Happy Hour. Odie Coyote back with you guys. We got a few concerts that we wanted to tell you about coming up. Coming up on the April 5th, going to go see Jason Aldean out in Gonzales, Louisiana. On April 6th, Turnpike Troubadour is going to be in Jacksonville, Florida. On April 7th, make sure you go cast the one, the only, Roseanne Cash, out in Atlanta, Georgia. Wow, folks, it's been a great first show. Special thanks to Jack Nelson. Wasn't he fantastic, Producer Raven?
Absolutely.
One of a kind. Cool dude. Go check out that single Fog. You can get it on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you want to stream it. Fantastic track. We've been spinning like a... I'm losing it, honey.
I'm thinking like one of those old spinner medallions.
The spinner. I'm spinning it like a fidget, a spinner fidget toy from 2018.
I guess that's what they call them now, fidget toys.
Fidget toys.
They used to be that kind of fidget toy.
Yeah, I know. Well, folks, it was great having you. Thanks for tuning in. And if you're listening on the podcast, thanks. We really appreciate it. If you're a show and you're interested in airing our show, if you're a radio station, feel free to give us a call and contact over at bartalkhappyhour.com. Love it. We'll see you guys when we see you. Thanks for tuning in to the Bar Talk Happy Hour.
Thank you for listening to the preceding broadcast of the Bar Talk Happy Hour. The broadcast is copyrighted and may not be rebroadcast or retransmitted in any way without the express written permission from the show creator. For comments and questions, please contact us online, bartalkhappyhour.com.